Modest Mussorgsky worked on the opera Hovanshchina during most of the last decade of his life, but it remained uncompleted when he died in St. Petersburg in 1881 at the age of 42. 2 years later, Rimsky-Korsakov completed the last act and an unfinished portion of the second act. Rimsky also undertook extensive revisions of other portions of the opera, hoping to make Mussorgsky's music more palatable to audiences of the time. Even so, Hovanshchina failed to win a place in the operatic repertory equal to that of Mussorgsky's Boris Godunov, but it continued to have its champions and occasional performances in Russia. And in the late 1920s, Leopold Stokowski gave the first American performances in Philadelphia in a version amended by the conductor. In 1959, Dmitri Shostakovich was asked to re-edit and reorchestrate extensive parts of Hovanshchina for a Soviet film version of the opera. Shostakovich became so fascinated by the task that he ended up reorchestrating the entire opera. To eliminate what he considered to be ideas that represented Rimsky more than Mussorgsky. Hovanshchina, of course, was not the only Mussorgsky work that Shostakovich re-edited. 19 years earlier, in 1940, Shostakovich had reorchestrated Boris Godunov for a Leningrad production, and that version was also performed at New York's Metropolitan Opera in the 1950s. In 1962, Shostakovich also orchestrated Mussorgsky's song cycle, Songs and Dances of Death. Mussorgsky's Hovanshchina is set in Russia in the years 1686 to 1689, and it deals with the plots of the boyars, or nobles, to halt the reforms of the young Tsar Peter I. The opera's title is derived from the name of two of the principal plotters, the Hovanskys. The applause of the audience in Avery Fisher Hall greets guest conductor Kurt Zonderling as he comes on stage to begin today's Exxon New York Philharmonic broadcast concert with the prelude to Mussorgsky's Hovanshchina as orchestrated by Dmitri Shostakovich. The prelude to Mussorgsky's uncompleted opera Hovanshchina, as orchestrated by Dmitri Shostakovich, has been performed by the New York Philharmonic under the direction of guest conductor Kurt Zonderling. In just a few moments, today's New York Philharmonic broadcast concert, made possible throughout the United States by a grant from Exxon Corporation, will continue with the Violin Concerto No. 2 by Szymanowski. Young Uk Kim will be the soloist. In an intermission feature on these New York Philharmonic broadcasts 2 seasons ago, the Polish-born conductor Stanisław Skorowiczewski and Philharmonic violinist Hanna Lachert told us how plans for an international celebration of the 100th anniversary of the birth of the Polish composer Karol Szymanowski had been frustrated by turns in the political situation in Poland. Still, the limited anniversary tributes that did take place helped to spark renewed interest in Szymanowski's music, and in just a few moments, we'll hear the Korean-born violinist Young Uk Kim perform Szymanowski's Violin Concerto No. 2. It is one of Szymanowski's last works, composed in 1932 and 1933, when he was in his early 50s. It reflects the direction that Szymanowski's music was taking in his final years, following several years of study of the folk music and folk dances of the Gorals, the Polish Highlanders of the Tatra mountain region. The concerto thus incorporates rhythmic and melodic traits of Polish folk music within an essentially late romantic symphonic framework. Like a number of other late romantic concertos, Szymanowski's second violin concerto is written to be performed in one continuous whole, but with tempo changes and thematic development suggesting the traditional separate movements. Paul Kochanski was the violin soloist for the world premiere of Szymanowski's second violin concerto with the Warsaw Philharmonic in October of 1933. He was also announced for the American premiere in 1934 with the Boston Symphony Orchestra. But Kochanski died a few months before the scheduled engagement, and so the premiere was given instead by Albert Spalding, soloist, with Serge Koussevitzky conducting. And here coming on stage are violinist Young-ok Kim and conductor Kurt Sonderling. In just a moment, with the New York Philharmonic, they'll perform the Concerto No. 2 for violin and orchestra by Karol Szymanowski. The Concerto No. 2 for Violin and Orchestra by Karol Szymanowski has been performed by Young-Uk Kim as soloist with the New York Philharmonic, Kurt Zonderling conducting. Young-Uk Kim was born in Seoul, South Korea, and studied in his native country and at the Curtis Institute in Philadelphia, where his teachers included Ivan Galamian. He made his much-praised American debut at the age of 16, and soon thereafter he shared the spotlight with Eugene Ormandy and the Philadelphia Orchestra in a nationally televised concert. Young-Uk Kim and Kurt Zonderling have been recalled. The members of the New York Philharmonic have been asked to stand in their places to acknowledge the applause, and now Kurt Zonderling and Young-Uk Kim have once again gone to the backstage area. At the age of 19, Young-Uk Kim was the guest soloist with Leonard Bernstein and the New York Philharmonic for a televised concert. And in 1978, he toured Japan and Korea with the New York Philharmonic in concerts conducted by Erich Leinsdorf. Once again, Young-Uk Kim has been recalled. And now, having acknowledged the continuing applause, he again goes to the backstage area. In addition to performing with orchestra and giving solo recitals, Young-Uk Kim is deeply involved in chamber music, performing with his friends and fellow musicians Emmanuel Axe and Yo-Yo Ma as the Axe Kim Ma Trio. During the 1984-85 concert season, he is also scheduled to play the complete Mozart sonatas for violin and piano in a series of concerts with his Curtis and Marlborough classmate, Peter Serkin. On the second part of today's concert, guest conductor Kurt Zonderling will return to direct the New York Philharmonic in a performance of Schubert's Symphony No. 9 in C major. Before we continue with this week's program, some words about future New York Philharmonic broadcasts in this series, made possible throughout the United States by a grant from Exxon Corporation. Next week, Zubin Mehta will be the conductor. The program includes Vivaldi's Autumn Concerto from the Four Seasons, with Charles Rex as violin soloist, Joseph Marx's Romantic Piano Concerto with George Bolette as the piano soloist, and the Symphonie Fantastique by Berlioz. 2 weeks from today, Zubin Mehta will conduct a program that includes Tchaikovsky's Sixth or Pathétique Symphony and the Viola Concerto in D Major by Stamitz with Saul Greitzer as the viola soloist. 3 weeks from today, Zubin Mehta will conduct The Planets by Holst and Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 23 with Radu Lupu as piano soloist. We hope you'll join us for each of these programs. Now stay tuned for the second part of today's concert, led by guest conductor Kurt Zonderling. Today's guest conductor, Kurt Zonderling, made his New York Philharmonic broadcast debut several months ago with a performance of the Derek Cook realization of Mahler's unfinished Tenth Symphony. At that time, our broadcast included an intermission interview with Mr. Zonderling, one of the first that he has ever given in the United States. Part of that interview dealt with Mahler, but other parts touched on Mr. Zonderling's experiences as a young German refugee from Hitler, living in Leningrad and other parts of the Soviet Union during the late 1930s and World War II. Since some of Mr. Zonderling's comments in those portions of the interview relate directly to some of the music on today's program, we thought it would be appropriate to rebroadcast them during today's intermission. We feel that Mr. Zonderling brings a unique human as well as historical perspective to questions that Western music lovers seldom get an opportunity to ask performers who've spent most of their lives in the Soviet Union, Poland, East Germany, and other Eastern Bloc nations, whether one agrees or disagrees with the viewpoints expressed. Here, then, is a portion of the interview conducted earlier this year with guest conductor Kurt Zonderling. Welcome, Mr. Zonderling, and thank you for taking time out from your very busy schedule of rehearsals and concerts to talk with us. The situation during the Second World War, when Russia and Germany were enemies toward one another, did that influence any anti-German feeling toward the repertory that was being performed in the Soviet Union?
Not very much. The Leningrad Philharmonic Orchestra, with whom I was at that time, has been in Siberia at that time.
It and transferred its base of operations.
Yes, especially for saving the orchestra. And we have played all fine music, including Wagner and Bruckner. Not so much, not too much. The accent has been on the Russian composers. But we not only were allowed to play the German music, too, we liked to do it.
The circumstance for you might have been rather, I don't want to say difficult, but perhaps a little uncomfortable. As a German living in the Soviet Union with these two powers at war against one another, was that an uncomfortable situation?
It wasn't, because they knew that I have been an enemy of the regime of Hitler, and therefore they accepted me.
Mm-hmm. With which Russian composers particularly did you establish a close personal relationship?
Mainly with Shostakovich. Mainly. I am very glad and very happy that he made me, especially in his last years, his friend. But I knew closer other composers too, for example, Prokofiev, Khachaturian, Myaskovsky, and some young composers too.
You, I'm sure, must be familiar with the book that has been published of the memoirs of Shostakovich as edited by Semyon Volkov. That has stirred up a lot of controversy, not only in this country, but in other countries in Europe. There is a fairly harsh division of opinion. Those who maintain that the opinions that are expressed in the Volkov summation of the points of view of Shostakovich, those who maintain that they're absolutely accurate, and those who say that there are a lot of inaccuracies in there.
For me, it's difficult to see. I have to believe what Volkov is saying about it. I believe that many things about which Shostakovich has been referring, he has heard about it, but he has not been a witness. Therefore, I am not sure that all what Shostakovich has told is true. He was told about it, but I think what he is speaking about his own things, it must be true.
Mm-hmm. The parallel and comparison, if you will, that has been made increasingly in recent years concerning the music of Shostakovich and Mahler, that Mahler is a spiritual father of Shostakovich. What is your opinion of that?
I don't like to compare them. They are to compare only because both are unhappy composers, but their style and their manner to express their feelings are too different for saying that Shostakovich is a child of Mahler.
Mm. Kurt Sonderling, it's been a pleasure speaking with you during this intermission period. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Goodbye.
In just a few moments, guest conductor Kurt Sonderling will return to the podium to continue today's New York Philharmonic broadcast concert, made possible throughout the United States by a grant from Exxon Corporation. Mr. Sonderling, who made his New York Philharmonic debut earlier this season, was born in Germany 71 years ago. At the age of 18, he became a coach at the Berlin Opera, working with such renowned conductors as Wilhelm Furtwängler, Erich Kleiber, and Otto Klemperer. He was in his early 20s when, in 1936, he left Germany because of the Nazi regime. Soon thereafter, Kurt Sonderling became an assistant conductor with the Moscow Radio Orchestra, and while still in his 20s, a conductor of the Kharkov Philharmonic in the Ukraine. His success led to his appointment as principal conductor of the Moscow Radio Symphony for 5 seasons. In 1942, after scoring a major success guest conducting the Leningrad Philharmonic, he was named that orchestra's co-conductor, sharing its podium with Yevgeny Mravinsky. After World War II, Mr. Sonderling led the Leningrad Philharmonic on its first tours to the West. This, together with a number of recordings with the orchestras of Leningrad and Moscow, helped spread his international reputation. In 1960, Kurt Sonderling returned to Berlin to become music director of the principal orchestra of East Berlin, the Berlin Symphony Orchestra, a post he retained for the next 17 seasons until his retirement at age 65 in 1977. During this period, he also served as music director of the Dresden Staatskapelle Orchestra for 3 seasons, 1964 to 1967. Since retiring from the Berlin Symphony, Kurt Sonderling has guest conducted regularly throughout both Eastern and Western Europe, including the Salzburg, Prague, and Vienna festivals. But he had not conducted extensively in the United States until 1982, when he guest conducted the San Francisco Symphony. This season, he has guest conducted the St. Louis Symphony, in addition to the New York Philharmonic, and next season, he will guest conduct the Los Angeles Philharmonic. The work with which Kurt Sonderling will conclude today's New York Philharmonic concert will be Schubert's Symphony No. 9 in C major. Most music historians believe that Schubert never heard his C major symphony performed, except for portions of it, at a rehearsal of the Vienna Philharmonic Society in 1826, a rehearsal that led the society to reject the work as too difficult and too long. The manuscript lay forgotten for a decade after Schubert's death in 1828. It was discovered by Robert Schumann in 1839 during a visit to the home of Schubert's brother, Ferdinand. Schumann gave the score to Felix Mendelssohn, who arranged to conduct the first performance in Leipzig a few months later, but in a considerably abridged version. It was not until the mid-1840s that the complete symphony had its first performances, and it soon established itself as one of Schubert's most admired works and one of the most popular in the concert repertory. And now we await the entrance on stage at Avery Fisher Hall of Kurt Sonderling to conclude today's New York Philharmonic broadcast concert, made possible by a grant from Exxon Corporation, with a performance of the Symphony No. 9 by Schubert. And here is Kurt Sonderling coming on stage to conduct the New York Philharmonic in the Symphony No. 9 in C major by Franz Schubert. The Symphony No. 9 in C Major by Franz Schubert has been performed by the New York Philharmonic under the direction of guest conductor Kurt Sonderling. The New York Philharmonic has recorded Schubert's Ninth Symphony under the direction of its laureate conductor, Leonard Bernstein, for CBS Masterworks. And the Philharmonic's music director, Zubin Mehta, has recorded Schubert's Ninth Symphony with the Israel Philharmonic for London Records. Here is Kurt Sonderling returning to the stage and now asking various of the Philharmonic's principal players to rise. And now all the musicians in the orchestra, acknowledging the performance, as now he goes to the podium, faces the audience, and with a wave of his left arm, indicates that the musicians of the Philharmonic share the enthusiastic reception with him. Kurt Sonderling, this season making his first guest conductor appearances with the New York Philharmonic. In just a moment, I'll have word about next week's New York Philharmonic broadcast. Next.